Good to see you all. So I want everybody to raise their hands and point them this way. Bless Bruce as he takes the kids to kids' church. Gotcha. No, I'm just kidding. No, I asked him, I was like, would you do kids this morning? He's like, really? So he's taking the kids. Teach them about Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, right? So it'll be fun. I'll be curious. I'm more curious to hear what he has to say. We have some fun times over there, huh?
You'll find out what he learned.
Exactly. That I learn so much over there. And you know, you can learn so much from children. It's, can I just quick tell you one thing? Well, yeah. So we are learning about Holy Spirit now and spending time with Holy Spirit, seeing Holy Spirit, okay, feeling Holy Spirit, listening to Holy Spirit with our senses over with the kids. So at the end of the what we teach, we always pray for someone or, you know, for something, or if the lesson has a certain point, that's what we'll pray for. And I don't know which one to tell. There's so many, but yet, you know, even in the midst of it, you're going to get, you know, unicorns and rainbows and cotton candy and meatball planets and, you know, so there's some stuff you got to wade through, but there's also moments where you're like, there's no way that they would know what they, you know, what I'm saying. So I'll tell you this one. We were talking about praying and listening to the Holy Spirit while you're praying in tongues, okay? So we're praying in tongues, and before I prayed in tongues, I told them about the Russian war with Ukraine, Russia and Ukraine. And I said, Russia is going into Ukraine. Here, I'm teaching five-year-olds, you know, and one 11-year-old, which she's helping me teach. So, but we started praying in the spirit, because I told them about the word briefly, and we started praying in the spirit. Now, okay, we pray 10 seconds in the spirit. Sometimes I'll peek and see if they're still praying, because if they're still praying, I'll let them keep praying. And then one of them would go, I saw something. And I'll be like, okay, what did you see? And it's Lou and Kyrie, Ashton and Allie's Lou and Lauren and Cody's Kyrie. So Lou says, I saw families fighting families. And I was like, he doesn't have a clue. I mean, unless his mom and dad are teaching him that. And then Kyrie went on to describe the Russian flag. She's like, there's red and there's blue. And there's white, there's red, there, it's just, because she's always my rainbow one. There's always a rainbow there, you know. But she's like, there's only blue and there's only red. She didn't say there was only white, but she was so, I couldn't quite figure out what hers meant. But when I looked up, for some reason, I looked up the Russian flag. And I was just like, wow. You know, how from babes. You know, you can, and there's been other times that I'm just amazed at what God shows them just out of simpleness, huh, Elena? Just simple, not taking, we don't pray long, do we, Elena? I noticed when Elena was in there, she wanted to go and go and go. And I was like, no, Elena, we stop. But it's fun. You know, it's fun to see and then hear, and then, you know, we can pray into the situation. So I just pray that he has a blast, that he just has a blast in the Holy Spirit. So today I am going to talk to you about being a friend of God. Being a friend of God. And I'm not going to tell you anything you probably don't know. But I hope it so stirs in your heart, your mind, every part of who you are, just to hunger to know more of him, to be a friend. Because have you ever thought about being a friend of God? I was like, I've been reading the Bible, which we should, but I started from the beginning, and it says that Abraham was a friend of God, right? And then it struck me because I got to Moses, and Moses was a friend of God. And I was just like, oh, a friend of God. I'm like, well, we're talking about our relationship with the Father, because they were Father-focused, weren't they? The Hebrews. They were about the Father, a friend of the Father. So it got me thinking, because I don't know what your definition of friend is. You know, what does friend mean to you? You know, mine is probably more of an acquaintance, and not what this meant when I started looking up friend. Now, I just jotted down things that I saw in definitions, so I can't tell you where they're from necessarily. But listen, it's one who loves, companion, a comrade. They're loyal. They have deep affection. They tell their secrets. It's experiential. There's a direct personal relationship with God. It's not in ritual. Okay? Fellowship or company. It's continuous communication. Keeping each other informed about what they are doing or planning. That's the fellowship or company. It's sharing together. Okay, it's exchanging of thoughts and feelings. It's about deep, intimate thoughts of the heart. It's a partnership or joint participation. It partners in the kingdom's work. It co-labors. It's permitted to interject his perspective or your perspective. It's standing in the counsel of the Lord. It's close mutual association. I thought this one was interesting. Because he really didn't, wait. It doesn't really have a definition, but it says, when you think of a person, do you think of Jesus? That's the close mutual association. Now, those four things that I just described, the fellowship or company, the sharing together, the partnership or joint participation, the close mutual association, do you know what that's a study from? Communion. Isn't that good? I just read that this morning and I thought, oh, I love that. Because communion is about intimate fellowship with him, which is the pathway, the gateway to a strong friendship. Right? He desires to be your friend. He yearns for your fellowship. He wants to teach you what he knows. What he knows. His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they're all unlimited. It's so exciting to make him our home. His presence is my home. I liked when you said that. That was what was standing out to me. I'm like, his presence is my home. So, there's two people in the Bible that are called God's friend. Abraham is one of them, and Moses is the other. And I want to focus more on Moses, okay? So, just this week, and I guess I'm making this a two-part because it's going to flow right into Abraham next week. But I loved Moses first because Moses was about what? The presence of God. There was two things about Moses, or I mean, Moses and the Israelites, there was differences between how they communicated with God, wasn't there? He wanted to go They were like, you go for us. Right? He understood if he had the presence, he had all the blessings. So it's about the presence of God. It's about knowing him. It's about being a friend of God. It's about being a lover of God. And I believe being a friend of God will mark you, and they will know that you love and know God. So, Moses, Exodus 33, 8 through 23. This is really long, but I want you to hear it, okay? And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks with a friend, to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young men who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Moses sees the Lord's glory. Is that on there or no? One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me when you will send me. You have told me, I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." So Moses had quite an experience with the Lord, huh? From the burning bush. I mean, if you think about walking through Moses' life, he had encounters with the Lord, with his presence. So the first one I want to talk about is drawing near. The first thing that I pulled out of there is drawing near. The first thing you talk about is the Israelites who watched Moses go. Who would be curious about what's happening to Moses? I'd be standing at the tent going, "I want to go." And I was thinking that not everybody got to go, but who was in there with him? Joshua. I was like, so I could have gone, right? And been in his presence. See, but we're so lucky because we're in his presence. Like Lisa was saying this morning, we are in his presence. You are in him. He is in you, right? He's always with us. Does it matter if you feel him? Sometimes that can be really hard. But it doesn't matter. He's with you. That's one big promise you can hang on to. And that's the truth, exactly. So draw near to him. The Israelites said, no, Moses, you go for us. Sometimes I feel like we might be like that in the body of Christ. No, bud, you hear from God for me. You know, and then tell me what he's saying. Or I got to go to this prophetic conference because they're going to give me a word. I need to get a word. I need to get a word. Guys, it's, and I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm just, be, watch what your motive might be in that. Because if Bud always has to give me a word, he might be saying, I'm not going to tell him anything. So Lori will maybe look to me. And then Bud, I think, would even tell me the same thing. Huh, Bud? You'd probably tell me, hey, Lori, you need to get your own word. But draw near. This is the greatest invitation. And he's calling us to come. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I love what the Passion says. Move your heart closer and closer to God. And he will even come closer to you. Now, sometimes, do you ever get those, draw near to God? Okay, well, what does that really mean? When you say draw near to God, what does it mean? What do I do? It's just spending time with him. It, to me, it's like inviting him into every part of who you are. And being thinking and being consciously aware of him in every moment. Okay, yes. And when you get to that point, you'll start noticing him show up in your life. You'll start feeling him in the grocery store. Help that woman get that. Okay. Help that guy unload. It was funny because I was like, help him unload his groceries into his trunk. I'm like, what? So, and he's like, just do it. So I went over and I started unloading. And he's like, you know, bless you. He started blessing me. And I was like, well, thank you. You know, I was like, I got a blessing because I just was simply obedient to doing the simple things. You'll start to see him and hear him more. It's a developing. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes, like when I first started just really focusing on God, I wanted him to show me things because I'm a seer. I see things. You know, and I'd stand there and I'd be making up something. And then I'd be like, oh, that wasn't God. But then there's other times where I feel like, I'll tell you one. There was this massive balloon. What's the hot air balloon? The basket. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you know, come. So I was looking and I stepped into the basket. I noticed the balloon is all the rainbow colors, covenant, the covenant of God. You step in and what I hear is the massive, you know, and I'm just like, the power of the Holy Spirit holds up the covenant of God, right? So I'm in the basket and we're going up. And do you want to know, the world looks so small. Trees that are 75 feet, look. And I felt like God was just saying, from my perspective, things aren't so big. When you stay in my perspective. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Well, I happened to look in the basket and there was 3 stains of blood. And I was like, what is this? He says, it's my cross. The basket, what carries you is the cross. It gives you a whole new perspective when you step into who he is. Now, I'm telling you, I can't make that stuff up. I know me. And I'm not telling you to brag or boast about it. Because you know what? It's so humbling to have him speak to you. Because it's not me, is it? And it's not you. But when you share it and it makes build somebody's life, because you heard from him, because you're a friend of God, it's so humbling. I'm scared to death to pray for people. Is that crazy? But when I'm walking to somebody, I'll be like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to them? What do you want to say? And I just know it's not me. I'm just going to say what Holy Spirit wants me to say to him or say to her or say to them. He's so good. Drawing near to him is just being, trying to make yourself more aware of him. God, what are you doing? What are you seeing? You know, it was really cool. Kids came to me. We were in worship. Both Kyrie and Lou came over by me, and I looked at them because they were kind of goofing around, and I just said, hey, are you guys worshiping? And they said, no. And I said, well, what's Jesus doing right now? And they both closed their eyes. And then, you know, for a few minutes, and then I come back to him and I said, so did you guys see anything? And Lou says, I saw angels that made up a butterfly that covered this whole place. And Jesus was above them. Kids are incredible. What, did anybody see anything or feel anything this morning in service? I'm serious. Did you guys see or feel anything? Did he speak to you anything? Yes? No? Ooh. Covering. Amen. Amen. I know when Justin started playing and doing the ooh, ooh, oohs down, I kept feeling like the angels were descending and ascending, you know, but they were coming down and bringing. You know, I felt more of the descending from heaven. And, you know, I was just like, okay, God, what are you doing? You're beautiful. You're beautiful. And then Lisa was like, he's touching hearts. He's changing, you know, he's, what did you say? Churning, you know, the churning in your spirit that makes way for new things, new growth, the newness. There's a newness that's happening. New life, the butterfly, let him hover over you. Let him bring you life. Let him restore. Let him renew. Actually, make you completely new. Right? I'm so far off my notes. But I just want to establish, like if we say in Christ or he's in you, it's just complete communion with him at all times. And it might be seeing, it might be hearing, it might be a note passed, it might be a hug, it might be a kiss, it might be, I don't know what it might be for you, but he's going to touch you how you need to be touched. He's going to speak to you when you need to be spoken to. Right? So you can initiate this step at any time. Have you ever been in the midst of something and you're going on and you're struggling and struggling and struggling, and then finally you go, God, I'm trying to learn that as soon as something, I'm like, God, you can help me in this because your kindness or your peace or your self-control. Right? So you can initiate this step at any time. You can draw near to him at any time. Even where that scripture is written, it says resist the devil, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, and then it says cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. It's right in the midst of, I think, something, a battle you might be having. Draw near to him. I like the study we just did on Wednesday nights. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table, because he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy. a table of feasting, a table of goodness, a table of a way out, right? There's no temptation that he didn't give you a way out. Right? So seek him. He desires to be intimately close to you. He desires to be wanted and recognized. He desires to be known. Exodus 34 says he is jealous about his relationship with you. He's jealous. He's passionate. He has so much passion for his relationship with you. And we don't want to be onlookers like the Israelites. I want to know him. And if I have to hang out with you because you were in the tent and I saw it, and I want to come and see, what is he saying to you? What is he showing? I'm going to do it. Because he's speaking to you. Are you satisfied without his presence? Are you satisfied without his presence? I can tell you so much in my life I went without his presence. Being distant instead of intimacy. It was easier for me to come to church and hear the minister pray and, oh, I love their relationship with God and I'm just going to go live life. Right? But when you start delving into, he is so addicting. He is so addicting because as soon as you start hearing him and start, you want more. You want to hear him. You want to know his ways. You want to know how he thinks, right? Moses wanted to know God. So my second point, so draw near is the first thing we can learn from Moses and the Israelites. The second thing is seek his face, his presence. I like what I learned in the Passion Translation in John, the first book of John. It says that the Hebrews did not have a word for presence. It was face to face. So instead of presence, it was face to face. Have you ever been face to face with somebody? Is that comfortable? Because when you're face to face, they're going to see my zit. They're going to see my freckle. Oops, you know, right? It's close. And that's how close he wants to be with you. The Lord would speak face to face with Moses as a friend. Moses was about the presence of God. And let me just declare this over you. You are about the presence of God. There's a next part where he says in Exodus 34 or 33, he says, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Moses said this. He said, if you don't go with me, God, don't make us leave this place. Do you know what this place is? Do you remember? They were in the desert. There was no conveniences, no outdoor plumbing, no beds, right? It was a place of hardship, no comfort or pleasure, no abundance. But Moses knew, I would rather have your presence in this place than go to convenience and be without you. That's a shift in thinking, isn't it? Because how many might be in a dry place or a hard place right now? And yet, how many people say this? I have experienced God so much in this hard time. We've said that, huh? It's amazing how much he is with us in the hard times. But knowing that keeping his presence or being with him is the most important thing, no matter what we may be facing or what we may be going through, what we don't understand. There's so much I don't understand. But I'm like, wow, God, you're a good God. You're a good Father. and I don't know the whole picture. So I'm just going to trust you. And I'll enjoy your presence in the midst of my enemies, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my pain. Moses desired the Lord himself, above all blessings and promises. He wanted intimacy above anything God could provide. Moses sought God for who he is, and the children of Israel sought God for what he did. That's why the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And the Lord manifested himself to Moses, didn't he? John 14, 21 says, "I will love him and manifest myself to him." He's talking about you. He says, "I will love him and I will manifest or reveal myself to him." I just want to go a little segue here. Of course, his presence, his omnipresence, right, is everywhere. But it's his manifest presence that we long for, that we want to see him manifest himself to us, right? That's our hunger, our cry, our yearning, is to see him manifest himself to us. Now, the Israelites, they were hungry, right? They cried out for food. They got a manifestation. Right? Right? They got a manifestation. Now, did that change them? Because it wasn't about him, right? It was about, what can you give me? What can you give me? I have a quick story. Brownsville. Loved Brownsville. Loved going, standing in line, and I'm shaking because the people of God are so expectant, and they're just, the presence of God was just there in line, and we were talking about God and the good things. It's wonderful, amazing, good. And I went to the services, and I was like, oh, I just want him to pray for me. So I would chase after everybody to get prayed for. And I remember coming down the middle aisle, and I looked at the cross that you can't see. At that church, I looked at the cross, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "But will this change you?" As soon as he said it, I was probably halfway down the church. As soon as he said it, I shifted over to my pew and I sat down. And I was like, "God, if I never feel you again, I would rather know you." I was chasing manifestations. I loved feeling his presence. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he was like, "Honey, come to know me, and you will feel me. You will see me. You'll know me." But chasing after what somebody else has, being in the presence of what somebody else has, can be dangerous to you, because if you don't realize that it's not you, it might be the anointing that you're sitting under that comes on you. Saul prophesied, didn't he? Did he prophesy any other time after that? But he came in the presence of the anointing and he prophesied. So I'm telling you, when you are around people that have a specific anointing and you're prophesying, that's wonderful. Because Brenda Peters, anybody know Brenda Peters? She would come in and I would feel like prophesying all the time. So I'm like, this is not normally me. This is wonderful. But I felt like, oh, it's, you can learn from that and you can see, hey, I can do this. But don't let it be a substitute for your relationship with God. Okay? Don't let it cut you off too. I just don't know God anymore. He's not in my life anymore. because I'm not prophesying, or I'm not shaking, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. Okay? I don't feel him anymore. That's been a big one. I've heard from Christians, I just don't feel him anymore. I don't think I have a relationship with them anymore. Yep. 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 And that, it's so true. Because it has thrown some people for a loop, and they cannot have a relationship with God unless they are feeling. Okay? So, enough about manifestations. I hope that was okay. The next part that I liked about Moses in Exodus 33 was, "For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." You are set apart. You are set apart. You are special. And when you know him more and more, people will see that on you. They will see Jesus in you. They will be, "You're different. You're different." He sets you apart, even in the small ways. Moses' face was shining. You're radiant. You're radiant. You shine the light of his presence. I like it that he said that Joshua stayed in his presence. Because if you look at the life of Joshua, he was more than a conqueror, wasn't he? And you could tell he spent time with God and moved. Spent time with God and moved. So I just want, okay, the third one is know his ways. Moses said, "Let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor." Let me know your ways. And this I'm going to cover more next week when I talk about Abraham, because Abraham was more about the ways and how he believed. But when you know him, you know who you are. You cannot know who you are unless you know him. Let me say that. You cannot know who you are unless you know him. When you spend time with him, he shows you who you are. He shows you who he is in you. And who you can become. And he changes you. He cleanses. Right? It's always he cleanses. You see something you don't like in your life, just be like, "All right, God, let's hang out. Let's hang out. And see what he says. See what he does." But I want to end, or actually I loved knowing his ways. I loved what Chad Gonzalez said. I mean, a lot of everything that he said. But one of the things that I liked that has to do with knowing his ways was that he was pursuing God about knowing about healing. And I feel like that's been our church too. We've gone through a lot of different conferences, different healing nights, wanting to know his ways. One of the things that Chad said is, he studied the men of old. You know, what was their ways? John G. Lake. You know, some of the big, even in Zion, Dowie. He wanted to see what was it that was bringing fruit to them. And there's different parts to each one of them if you study them. But he said, "I wanted to know what's," and he even asked us, "Well, what's working for you? What's bringing fruit?" And I was like, "Oh, that's really cool," because he's going to all different places, all different denominations even, and saying, "What you guys like healing? What's working for you?" And I think he's coming down to his message for the whole week was, you got to know who you are You got to realize that you're in him. He's finding that all this, and that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Let that, I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, flow to that tooth. Because I had a little bit of problem with the tooth, and now I don't experience it anymore. So thank you, Holy Spirit. But we don't need to lay hands. We can. Yes, we can, and we can ask, and that's a good thing. But just realizing who is in you, right? It's so cool to be able to be like, yes, the Holy Spirit's in me, or even in kids, even in kids. Did you hear that? Especially, there you go. I like that. Because see, our thinking needs to change. Because kids are so powerful. Because they just simply, oh, Holy Spirit's in me? Okay. All right, let's go heal somebody. Right? So what I loved that he was wanting to know, because his thoughts, God's thoughts, are so much higher than our thoughts, right? His ways are so much higher than our ways. And that's why always connecting, always communing with him, you'll start to think differently. You'll start to see people differently. You'll start to act differently. You'll see situations differently. But I love these last few verses. And if you ever want to have some fun or get drunk in the Holy Spirit or however you want to say, spend time with God, look up the Passion Translation and put in presence. And it's a lot of fun. So I just did a couple. So Psalm 16:8 says, because I set you, Yahweh, always close to me, my confidence will never be weakened. For I experience your wrap around presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Doesn't that just get you? Okay, Psalm 7:10. God, your wrap around presence is my shield. You bring victory to all who are pure in heart. Psalm 61:3 says, Lord, you are a paradise of protection to me. You lift me high above the fray. None of my foes can touch me when I'm held firmly in your wrap-around presence. Reminds me of Psalm 91, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Love. I love how the Passion put it. His wrap around presence. I love his presence. His home, or my home, is his presence. My dwelling place is him. My secret place is him. So, what I would like to do is have Brian come to the piano. And I just want you to take however long she sings. I just want you to turn into him. Like Moses turned aside to see, what is this bush burning? And what that means is just maybe picture him. I love it in kids' class. The kids always want a seat now for Jesus. So we have to have an empty, well, Jesus is sitting in the seat, but it's so cute. But if you're sitting there, you guys can do whatever you want. If you want to get up and move or whatever, if you want to ask Holy Spirit or ask Jesus what he wants to do or show you, you can do. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes just turning into him, turning into his heart. Just allowing him to open your eyes to see. And you can ask him, Father, open my eyes to see you. Open my ears to hear you. Open my heart to perceive you and understand. tell him you want to walk in intimacy, in communion with him, continually. Tell him you want to know his counsel, his will, his secrets, his passions. You want to know the power of his presence. What does your home look like, God? Where is home? And he might do a transforming work, because in his presence, you can't help but change.